So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game. Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your stand, and if you can play it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it. I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a Cleveland bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I made the rules. So move on out, you can die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, son, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay. Cause I am the game and I want to play.
Congress thinks, I tell you what, the sky is falling, folks. The sky is falling. Take to the air, take to the streets, take to the boats, planes, trains. Get the hell out of here. The U.S. is going to crumble. Non-essential government may shut down at midnight. It's time to run and hide. I mean, that seems to be what everybody is thinking. It's the stupidest thought process I've ever heard. But hey, you know what? We'll get into some of that tonight. How are you, Mr. Martin?
Hey, don't be making fun of my people now, you know? I'm coming to you. I'm coming, you know, in anticipation of this. I rented a big bulldozer, and I buried a bus on my farm, okay? So I'm calling you from an underground bus bunker.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. We've got an underground bunker that will handle. How many people will that hold? About 15, 20? How big a bus did you bury?
Okay, it was a short bus.
Mr. Ed Martin drives the short bus, folks. You heard that here first.
Yeah, I'm coming live to you from the short bus.
There you go. And I'm sure that half our audience is offended, thinking that we're picking on some underprivileged children, you know, who have some mental facilities missing.
No, dude, I'm rural. They don't send big buses down our road, you know.
And
that's just honest truth, and it makes perfect sense. You got tight turns and narrow roads. We don't get the big buses.
You're right. You know, I've been accused of riding a short bus my whole life, so I just let people believe what they want to believe. We do have all kinds of things going on. A couple of quick stories. Greg Fisher met last week, met with lawmakers and everything else, trying to push this 1% tax increase here in Louisville that he says we have to have. He spent over 2 hours with lawmakers, says the local sales tax is going to generate an additional $95 million a year. And then he tried to lie to everybody and say it's temporary and it's going to go away, which we know from history that there is no such thing as a temporary tax that goes away. So that's already a lie. It's really hilarious to me. He's trying to say that basically this is going to be used for everything, including sewers and stuff, which I thought that's what we paid MSD rates for. So pay attention to this idiot that's out there trying to get more of your tax money. We have a second Kentucky legislator.
Yeah, you know, and hey, for what it's worth, I watched him. He was talking to the committees and stuff. And, you know, I think it's a pretty simple, straightforward request. But our mayor was reading it off his laptop or his iPad or whatever. He was reading it. He was teleprompting it. It's like, really? Come on now. This is what you do for a living. Don't, you know, do we have any leaders that can just sit down and wing it, you know, like we do? Yeah, we don't use notes or anything. We sit up on the patio and go for it. You know, it's like, look, you're going to talk about it, know it. But,
well, that's today's
Democrat. I question that number. Well, what was that number again that this 1% is going to generate?
It says it's going to generate $95 million a year for Louisville.
Okay. Well,
you know,
yeah,
I find that
1%, you got to stop and think. $95 million, 1%, that's like nine. He's planning on there being whatever the tax is on, it's like $9 billion in sales on that.
Now, let's try not to argue logic here, Ed, common sense and good judgment, because today's Democrat doesn't understand that.
Are they talking about a sales tax? That they're saying that.
The 1% sales tax, yes.
Okay, 1% sales tax, yeah. Especially since, you know, Louisville and Jefferson County border a number of counties. You know, nobody would ever cross into Shelby County and shop. Yeah.
No,
but,
I don't know.
It's basically it's saying, okay, aside from food, which doesn't pay tax, I guess he's figuring that the 1 million people in the city are going to spend $95 billion or whatever on stuff, you know, and that's where the tax, you know, that's where it's going to come from. But I'm with you. It's like, look, this is just a tax. If and just like the library tax and other stuff, it's like you can't tell, you know, if you want to pay for the Yum Center, you know, come on out and admit it. If you want to pay for something or another, then take it from something else. We're already one of the highest tax cities in the United States, and it's like, oh, well, this is going to pay for this. It's like, no, this is taxes are fungible. So it's a whole pot. It's like you can't say, well, this 1% is going for this, this, and this, and roads. But no, it's not. It goes into the whole pot. You know, and right now you've already got a pot. Fix your roads, and I hate to say it sometimes, but stop planting flowers everywhere if you have to, and fix the flipping roads or do routine maintenance so the roads don't bust up on you. Do something, you know.
If they would spend the money that's already allocated for these projects instead of robbing Peter to pay Paul for their pet projects to buy votes, we wouldn't have this problem. You know, Greg Fisher is today's liberal Democrat. It's very clearly obvious. A Democrat today can't speak without a teleprompter, as Barack Obama. So, you know,
and if they propose it and if they get a chance to do it, I don't think it's got a snowball's chance in hell, but if it does, I think one of the prerequisites for them getting this silly tax would be, okay, let's look at what the city spends. You know, we don't get, if you're going to take this tax and you don't get to spend any more money than you're absolutely obligated to, the Yum Center has to be paid for, or, you know, and we're not going to go on the hook for any more, and that non-discretionary spending that all our council critters like to go out and buy votes with, that's gone. I'll be damned if you're going to hit me with a 1% sales tax. These guys are still going to run around with this 1940s vote buying type. You know, that stuff is
ridiculous.
From a bygone era.
It's totally ridiculous. But he's planning on having $9.5 billion in sales, because that's what's going to take to generate $95 million in new taxes. And then, you know, you look at this, you look at everything going on, you've got bridge tolls getting ready to come up again, MSD, of course, keeps raising the rates. Who the hell can afford anything? Now, if you want to go to a consumption tax.
You got MSD taxing the freaking rain, man. I know.
And you can thank Gerald Neal, Senator Gerald Neal, for a lot of that. We're going after him, too, and I'll explain that one later. But we do have other issues going on. You know, I really want to get into Obamacare as quickly as I can, but these are notable things. Second Kentucky legislator has been accused of sexual harassment. Yep, you guessed it. You know, so we've got another guy being accused, another Democrat. You know, this is Democrat State Rep. Will Corsi. He is now being accused. We have a situation where Greg Stucco...
You know, all I can say about that is, no.
I know. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? You know, and then you got Bobby Sherman, the LRC commissioner.
No, not our elected officials.
I know. I'm shocked to no end. It's really hard for me to read this because I'm crying inside. You know, so Corsi, of course, is denying it, as does everyone. This will be an interesting situation going forward. Bobby Sherman, the former LRC commissioner, you know, he resigned and then went in over the weekend and started shredding documents last weekend. So, you know, we've got all these things going on.
When I heard about that, I have to, you know, I've got to wonder what the procedures are. You know, you go in over the weekend, it's like, look, dude, you resign. If you're at my company or anything, you don't get in anymore. The doors are locked to you. You hand in your pass key, whether it's, you know, you hand in your keys, you're done.
Well,
so, I mean,
supposedly he was
the
in
hell?
There.
I mean, what the hell? Yeah, I mean, I've been to the Capitol a number of times. Security's a joke. You know,
there
they really
is.
Are. But,
it is.
But I mean, how bad is security when somebody's like, okay, you don't work here anymore, but you come on in, and, you know, when you resigned, nobody bothered to ask you for the key. And then, oh, when you resigned, you went back into your office with staffers, I guess, and fired up the paper shredder. So you don't work here anymore. So you're accessing files and destroying things, but you don't work here anymore. You know what? That's not even, that falls out of the purview of your job. You resigned. You're destroying
property
no matter what.
You're
breaking and entering.
No, see, Ed, all they did was go ahead and shred copies of documents that they really didn't need so he didn't have to carry them home with him. You know, if you believe that, we've got some nice swampland in the Arizona desert for you. You know, and of course, Corsi,
you know what
of course,
the other thing I have to think is?
What's that?
How archaic, not only how archaic is our security system and the good old boy system where it's like, hey, how you doing? Come on in, shred some shit. are these things not generated on computers anyway and
there should
be a copy stored somewhere?
Well, they say there's copies of everything he destroyed. They've got them. It was routine stuff that he didn't need. Well, if it's routine stuff, his successor could have got through that.
But you know what? He doesn't work for the state anymore, so it's not his place to decide that. So they need to lock his sorry ass up.
Exactly. And they should. And interestingly enough, now we've got an investigation.
I mean, what's this guy going to do? This guy doesn't work for me. What's he going to do? Come in my office and go, I'm just here to shred some crap you don't need. And it's like, dude, you touch that and I will stuff your fingers in.
Well, yeah, you don't work here anymore. You can't decide what we need or what we don't need. You know,
yeah.
But that isn't all that's going on. Apparently, there is hope, Ed. There is hope for some of these liberal Democrats, and I'll tell you why. Senator Kathy Stein out of Lexington, a liberal Democrat, is calling for an investigation of House Speaker Greg Stumbo and other House leaders because Stumbo's office apparently is involved in the charges against State Rep. Will Corsi. Apparently, Nicole Cusick had complained about State Rep. Will Corsi and his behavior just the end of 2012, alleging that he tried to date interns, made inappropriate statements, all these other things, and she was immediately sent to work for Senate Republicans on a different floor in a temporary desk. When LRC directors Anita McElroy and Roy Collins told her she was being moved, they also told her there was nothing she could do to stop it because they said that the House leadership had instructed them to move her straight out of the Speaker's office. So here we've got Greg Stumbo once again embroiled in some kind of controversy, and he'll come out of this with no repercussions. He never has anything stick to him. You know, he's a daggone child support dodger and everything else, but nothing ever sticks to him. On another note, we've got Kentucky Attorney General Jack Conway. Now that we finally have the White House, Department of Justice, everybody else, yeah, well, they tell us we can grow industrial hemp now. The White House has decided to back off of this stuff, let the states do their own thing on hemp and everything else. And Attorney General Jack Conway decided to put out a written opinion last week that said that industrial hemp and hemp crops are still illegal, and anyone who grows it can be prosecuted. So now Jack Conway's out there saying, screw the feds. There's a chance we're going to prosecute you anyway. You know, this is getting to be somewhat ridiculous in this state because of these liberal Democrats like Jack Conway and others. So,
Jack, we've never given Jack very high marks for much of anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless of course you're stashing drugs in your house and you happen to be his brother, then you get great high marks for getting tipped off. But
You
know, I look at that like, you know what, it's not quite time yet anyway. The state's not ready for it, I don't think. I mean, we're getting ready for it, and we're building momentum, and Cuomo's doing a hell of a job doing it.
But that's irrelevant.
I look at something like that, and the state is way in favor. I mean, is it the vast majority think, yeah, let's grow some industrial hemp, you know? It's just, maybe it isn't the savior, but let's grow it. Why the hell not? And Jack comes out with a stupid statement. You know, he's actually trying to stand up and enforce a law every once in a while, but then
it
turns out to be a law nobody wants. So the sound of his inevitable run for the governorship is going down the toilet, and it's well worth it. You know, it's like, keep talking, Jack. You know, keep trying to act.
All a protectionism, Ed. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. It's just like Madonna Flood. And you know, most of the liberal Democrats here on the Metro Council and most of the Republicans on the Metro Council last week decided to protect Thornton's over at Preston and East Manslick from competition because they all get paid in the coffers and they get campaign contributions from Matt Thornton. It's the same thing with Jack. He doesn't want any competition. I mean, he's covering his brother's butt for a reason. Is Jack involved in illegal drugs? I don't know. But I think that when you're a daggone top law official in a daggone state with a law degree and you're sitting there, you know, getting tipped off about your brother and the things that went on there and nothing was done about it, hey, maybe he's just scared of competition. Who knows? We'll find out.
Maybe he's scared of his daddy because, you know, if Jack stood by and let another one of his daddy's sons get busted, daddy might not have been real pleased. Well, might not have been real pleased with Jackie. So,
well, that's a possibility, too. It's
the fact of it is, though, maybe he's trying to keep Cuomo from knocking a home run, you know, because this is Cuomo all the way. And if we start growing industrial hemp and it starts to work, you know what? Cuomo's going to be damn near unstoppable as the governor, whether he's running against Llewellyn or Elon or whoever. And Jack probably unwittingly just took a nice chunk out of his chances to be governor because I don't think he can run for AG again. So,
or Jack is intentionally trying to stop him.
Well played, Jack. You may have deprive Comer temporarily of you know, a trophy, you know, a marquee achievement, but in doing so, you basically and unwittingly fell on your own sword. So good luck with that.
Well, that's Jack just trying to daggone keep Jamie Comer out of the governor's office because he's scared of that competition. You know, we do have other things. The Kentucky retirement, of course, is completely screwed. We now have two more quasi-governmental agencies, and one day I want somebody to explain to me what quasi-governmental really truly means to the American people, because it seems like you can make a quasi-governmental agency out of just about anything. But two more of these agencies have filed a suit because they want to get out of the Kentucky retirement system. Frontier Housing in Moorhead and Housing Oriented Ministries, you know, they have been involved. They're making payments to the CURS system, the Kentucky retirement system, and now they want out. And they're trying to keep these guys from going out. The reason for it simply is because, you know, they're facing $6.2 billion in unfunded liabilities. So it's really interesting that the CERS is going through all of these problems. The KRS Executive Director William Thielen said Thursday afternoon that the lawsuits are basically resulting from escalating pension costs, that they're going to fight these people who want to drop out to make them stay in so that nobody else is there to pick up the burden. Here's the deal, though. When you look at that and you're thinking, okay, you know, this is really minimal, the Kentucky teachers' retirement system are now asking our lawmakers to kick in an extra $400 million each year into the retirement system in the next two-year budget. $400 million a year. They've underfunded so much for so long that the teachers now are scared, so they want them to put in $400 million. And they will probably try to find a way to do that. To give you some idea how much that money is, that's almost half.
To put that in context, They're not asking, and this is the one thing that pisses me off about special interest groups. You're not, they ask the legislature, you know, we're asking the legislature. No. What you're doing is you're asking every man, woman, and child in the state of Kentucky to give you $100 every year until that pension fund is fully funded. That's what you're asking.
That's exactly it. You know, I'm not a teacher. It's not my responsibility to worry about their retirement. But to give people an idea of how much that really is, that amount equates to about half of what Kentucky spent last year on public universities total. It's more than three times what the KRS for state and local government workers were able to squeeze out earlier this year. So you look at this stuff. It's very interesting that the teachers think that they should be above everybody else. So we need to pay attention to this going forward. We'll get into some other stuff on the local level and the state level.
And like
soon.
I say, keep it in context. They're not asking the state legislature. They're asking each and every person
exactly.
in the state of Kentucky, hey, you know what? I want to retire in 30 with full benefits, so why don't you send in $100 every year indefinitely so that I can chill. And if you got four members in your family, just send 400. It's all good.
There you go. Yeah, you know, and it doesn't matter where it comes from as long as you give it to us. You know, and
yeah.
that's totally ridiculous. We're going to take
a quick
break.
That's exactly where it's going to come from.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. We are going to take a quick break. I know we're going to spend most of this hour on Obamacare and the shutdown looming and everything else. So I rushed through those stories a little bit because I thought they were important to get out there. You guys can look those up online. But real quick, we're going to take a break, get back.
Well, hell, we can't
down
give state and local a free pass, can we now?
Never. Not on this show. That's why it's called Louisville
because
politics.
Just because the feds are screwing up words doesn't mean they get a pass.
There you go. So sit tight, folks. We'll be right back. You can call us at 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 with any comments. You can also, for you guys who are in the live listening queue, hit that little number one on your dial pad, and we'll make sure to get you on there as soon as possible. And don't forget, for you guys who are listening live on your phone, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever, you know, if you happen to have the Internet in front of you, go ahead and jump on and join the live chat as well. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springs Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. So you're driving down the road, minding your own business, and bam, something hits your windshield and leaves a ding or even worse. Has this happened to you? Don't worry, folks. Help is here. Huntsman Auto Glass is family-owned and operated right here in Louisville. Huntsman Auto Glass only uses original equipment manufacturer replacement glass, and in most cases, any repair or replacement is paid for by your auto insurance. That's right. No deductible, no cost to you. Call Huntsman Auto Glass at 502-214-8566 or go to huntsmanautoglass.com for more info. Huntsman Auto Glass, where they will fix your smash in a flash. Tell them Ed sent you.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email MyViewMatters at AOL.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound in.
Well, I
it's time to get the potatoes at tonight's show. It's time to get over it. I'll tell you why. The Uniparty is alive and well. Yes, they are. The Uniparty, your two-party Democrat Republicans, are alive and well. There is no better example of this than the ridiculous nature of what both of these clowns are doing with this Obamacare, trying to hold up a budget. Now, for the record, I've got to point this out, Ed Martin. For the record, for those of you who continue blaming Republicans, I want to give you a long list of why that is not true. But for those of you who continue blaming Republicans, remember this. The House has passed a budget each and every single year. The Senate has not passed a budget since 2009 and have continued to rely on the CR, or the continuing resolution. All right. All they do is pass a temporary spending bill. They do not pass a budget. So the Senate has not done their job for over 4 years now. But it's the Republicans that are at fault. Ed Martin, let's get right to it, my friend. Tomorrow, Obamacare is set to go live whether we have a budget in place or not. So it doesn't matter whether the government shuts down or not. Obamacare will go live tomorrow. And for you people in Kentucky, David Adams will be here in Louisville. David Adams is one who has filed a lawsuit against Governor Steve Beshear over an Obamacare exchange that Governor Steve Beshear did not have the authority to put in place without congressional approval. But he will be here in Louisville tomorrow because Steve Beshear and Jerry Abramson are coming here to Louisville tomorrow to tout what a great day it is for Kentucky because of Obamacare. So if you want to get out and make your voice heard, get out there and make your voice heard and hook up with David Adams. But tomorrow it goes into effect, Ed. What's going to happen?
Well, okay, let's clarify. It goes into effect unless you're a union, unless you're a big business, unless you're a medium-sized business, or, well, actually it goes into effect if you're an individual and you don't have a dog in the fight. Aside from that, everybody else is pretty much getting a free pass for another year. So it sort of goes into effect. Yeah, sort of. I'll give you that. What happens? You know what? Nobody really knows. I'm guessing what happens is people who unfortunately, sometimes who fall to their own, sometimes no fault of their own, extremely high risk, high maintenance, health maintenance people who can't otherwise get insurance are going to get insurance, which on the surface sounds pretty good, but they're the expensive ones. I think in the next few weeks that Medicare is going to have a handful of very expensive new clients is what I think is going to happen. But like I say, beyond that, it sort of goes into effect. If you're fortunate enough to have political pull, it doesn't go into effect for you. If you're an individual, especially if you're younger and just feel bulletproof and haven't been to the doctor in a number of years and don't foresee needing to go to the doctor in a handful of years, and maybe hit one of the storefront clinics every once in a while and get some allergy pills or something, you have a hay fever attack while you're mowing the yard like I do.
Well, let's get into the reality, here's the deal.
You got to get insurance, and even if you don't use it, thank you. You're paying for somebody else's insurance.
Well, let's get into the reality, though. I mean, we know 640,000 Kentuckians, according to the Courier-Journal, our own ultra-left liberal-leaning rag, the Courier-Journal. But according to them, there's 640,000 Kentuckians that don't have insurance now. And Obamacare is going to be the savior. Obamacare is going to give all of these people insurance because half of those people that are uninsured are going to go on Medicaid. And the other half are going to be able to access a real quality insurance plan at a deep discount through this Kentucky Health Benefit Exchange. We know that's a lie. We've been putting out the numbers
You might be able to get insurance, and you may get a card that says you have insurance, but, read the fine print. Some of it can be, this lower cost insurance is lower cost for a reason. You're going to take it in the butt. If you need help, your deductible is going to choke Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, because you're not going to be allowed to take any kind of oral pill now. Now you're going to have a suppository. But you know, when you look at all of this stuff,
yeah, and if you don't happen to, you know, and they talk about bankruptcies from medical expenses and stuff, it's like this isn't going to do anything to stop it, because if you end up with like $12,000 deductible or whatever before the insurance kicks in, and then it's whatever 20%. I mean, there's so many different plans, but I mean, you end up with a $12,000 deductible. If you're like most Americans, you don't have that sitting around. I mean, you may still be looking at a $12,000 bill and bankruptcy. You're just not doing it as big.
You know what, though? I mean, let's look at the reality, okay? I mean, me and my wife have what I consider to be good benefits. They were gold at one time, you know, but over the last several years, primarily the last couple of years, since the UAW decided to let the union, since Ford decided to let the UAW take care of the benefits, they've gotten a hell of a lot worse. The union don't need to be in a benefit business. These guys can't even understand how to run a line half the time. But, you know, this Obamacare stuff here, you know, it's like you said, the plan. They're talking about affordable quality insurance. Define quality. Because that's going to be the real interesting thing. For one thing, if you don't have insurance today, whether you can afford it or not, you're either going to have to buy a plan or pay a penalty. So there's nothing affordable about taking money out of your pocket that you don't have today to spend anyway. So that's a lie. If it's so
and if
good,
you don't have it, if you don't have it, there's probably a pretty good reason that you don't have it. It's that maybe you're not working a high-end job that pays for insurance and a decent wage.
Whatever reason, sure.
Maybe you just don't have the money and can't buy it of yourself. But guess what? Now even if it's free, you know, still you're looking at on the front end of going into a doctor for a visit. You're looking at some pretty brutal deductibles and some, you know, and it's still got more than enough punch to it to bankrupt most people. So, you know, people say, oh, it's a shame. It's just disgraceful that so many people go bankrupt because of medical stuff. It's like, yeah, hey, guess what? You know, there's probably a very narrow area where, you know, a handful of people could say, well, I can absorb $12,000 worth of deductibles, but I can't absorb $15,000. You know?
Well, people are going to go bankrupt over lots of things today. You know, I'll be honest with you. One of the stupidest things I had a phone call today from a friend of mine. They happen to be a government employee, a federal government employee, okay? Calling me, telling me that tomorrow they're going to be laid off, they're going to be out of work until this whole shutdown stops and everything else, expecting me to feel sorry for them. And I laughed at them. I said, congratulations. Yeah. They said, what? I said, you're now going to feel what the private sector has been going through for a long time. They've lost their jobs through no fault of their own. And really, one thing about this just irks the hell out of me, and this is why the Republicans are no better than the Democrats in this. Now, the Democrats, in my opinion, are the obstructionists now, and I'll get into all that in a few minutes. But when you look at the Republicans, why is it that the Republicans did not send something over to the Senate that basically stated one thing and only one thing they needed to do? All they had to do was send one sentence that says, okay, we will pass this as is, as long as all of Congress, the president, every elected leader, and their staff and government employees, anyone who works for government, has to abide by the same rules of Obamacare as the private sector does. You know what would have happened then? The Senate would have kicked it back and said no. The Republicans couldn't take a chance on sending something like that over because they're scared the Senate would say yes to gain some seats next year, and they're going to lose anyway. So why is it that nobody wants to bring that up? Why is there no politician who says this is what needs to be in this bill? We should all have the same accountability as the American people do. And why is it that they've exempted everything except the individual mandate, which is what, of course, applies to me, you, and every other citizen of the U.S.?
Because the individual who has to buy their own insurance, like you said, maybe doesn't have a job that pays for their insurance, these people have nothing but one man, one vote. And to be real honest with you, the politicians in D.C. and the politicians in Frankfurt really don't give a shit.
You're right.
You've got one. All they care about is that dangerous person out there who could do something like, you know, you piss them off real good, and then a few $1,000 donations to your whoever, somebody who's challenging you or something. They don't care about one man, one vote. You know, they're like, oh, we're for the little guy. No, they're not. All they care about is people that got money. That's why they exempted businesses. That's why they've exempted people, mm-hmm. because, you know, there's small business, medium-sized business, and big business can lower the boom on these people. The unions can lower the boom on them because they have money. So, yeah, the reason the individual mandate's going through and there's nothing you can do to stop it, because that guy who's on the margins, you know, could probably afford the $2,000, but can't afford the deductible. Maybe he
wants to. But Ed, you're not answering the question.
He doesn't have any pull with the politicians. So you know what? They're going to slam his ass into the plan. Then the people who are going to get it for free, even though the deductible would still wipe them out, mm-hmm. they're getting something for free. It's a bought vote. So that's exactly why they're doing it. You either don't have pull or they think they can buy you.
Well, the problem is they don't want to be held to the same standard they want to hold us to on either side of the aisle.
No.
That's the situation. If the House would put in
most of them are filthy, stinking rich, can buy their own insurance. It probably even added supplements to their gold-plated plans that they've got because it wasn't good enough for them.
Right.
So, hell no. The last thing in the world they want to do is be on even footing with some guy who's been unemployed and lost his unemployment, you know, his long-term unemployment benefits. They don't want to be on. They don't associate or identify with those people. They're not until election time.
Here's the situation, though. This came from the New York Times earlier today, just a little while ago, actually. They just updated. But according to the New York Times, Representative Chris Stewart, who is a Republican of Utah, he tells exactly why nobody will push that language that says that Congress must be in Obamacare and have exactly the same thing that we do. Because Representative Chris Stewart, Republican of Utah, said that the House has members that were standing up to say that they had sick children who would be hard to insure or they would have to struggle to buy insurance either because of their own age or their health conditions. So, because they're an elected representative, these things that they're talking about are the same things that millions of Americans have to face every single day. But because they're an elected representative, they should be exempt from having to do anything we do because of their sick children who are hard to insure, or because they have bad health conditions, or because they would have a problem trying to find affordable insurance, so they shouldn't have to go into Obamacare. What makes the elite elected representative think you're so much better than
me? Mind you, they're pulling down 160, and you know, 120 grand, 160 grand, and up.
Right. I think the average is somewhere around 174. I'll have to check on that. But, you know, so, I mean, that's the whole thing, because they don't want to go into an Obamacare like the rest of us, because they don't want to get stuck with substandard health care at an overinflated price like they're trying to stick on us. And that's why Obamacare should not be passed. Congress shall make no law that doesn't apply to them. It's incredible to me. Now, what's going to happen is the House is going to vote again tonight on this. And, folks, I'm telling you this right now. The Republicans are going to cave. They're going to cave. They have no choice in their mind. And I tell you why. In 1996 was the last time we had a shutdown. It lasted 21 days under Bill Clinton from December 16th, I believe, till January the 5th, somewhere in there. But it lasted 21 days under Bill Clinton. Okay? Newt Gingrich orchestrated this government shutdown, and the Republicans suffered badly for it in the next election cycle. So they're not willing to take that risk again because the mainstream media, the liberal left mainstream media, PMSNBC with Rachel Manchild and all of those folks, all right, CNN and all these other folks, are out there trying to tell the whole world it's Republicans' fault. Okay, so they're going to have to do a vote on it again tonight, and the House is going to vote to pass this. It'll be a thin margin, but they're going to vote. And I tell you what the problem is. When I sit here and talk about you know, all of this crap that everybody's blaming the Republicans for, think about what your media has done. Gerald Neal, our own state senator, is out there calling the House Republicans radicals and everything else. He's an idiot. Gerald Neal, I'm going to tell you, this is straight from me to you, okay? I know a lot of your history, and quite frankly, there's some things in your history that tell me you should be in jail. Why you're not is beyond me. That's my opinion. But I'm going to find out if you should be in jail or not. Because that's what I do. But if you think I'm lying to you, the Democrats and the media allies, NBC, CNN, and all of them, have spent the past week telling everybody that Republicans are anarchists, fanatics, radicals, and terrorists who who are wholly to blame for all of this stuff that we're going through that might lead to a government shutdown. Does any of this sound familiar to you, Ed?
Oh, yeah.
It's true, right?
I mean, yeah, they're, and the thing is they're working it up. Yeah, now, I'm going to be one that it comes out, and I've had my run-ins with the Republicans. Probably still will, even though I am one. But, you know, I've oftentimes blamed the Republicans for Obamacare. You know, 8 to 10 years, and they didn't do a damn thing to help insurance out, and people were getting buried. But like, beyond that, yeah, they're using this language. To put it in perspective, I can't think of any times that the Democrats have held anything hostage. But, it comes out with things like terrorists. I mean, what the hell? I mean, if they're gonna call people terrorists, what are they going to call it, Obama and stuff, for exempting so many unions and business sectors from it? I mean, are they elitist?
Well, how can you not?
It's amazing to me how fast the media will hang a name on somebody. And then the other way, it's like, hey, there's words for what they did. Why aren't you using them?
Well, here's the thing. Because if we're going to use terms like anarchists, fanatics, radicals, and terrorists over this issue, and try to tie it all to the Republican Party, I have to call bullshit. And I tell you why. Because if that's the case, let's ask ourselves the realistic question I asked a few minutes ago. As we know, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and President Barack Obama have not passed a budget since 2009. That was the last budget that ever got passed. 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013. Everything we are going through right now, our whole government is running on nothing but continuing resolutions. That means they go ahead and increase the debt ceiling, they go ahead and borrow more money, and they don't pass a budget. We're living without a budget. How many Americans can do that today? But here's the thing. If we're going to go after the Republicans to say this, okay, and I won't argue with you. I'll tell everybody you're absolutely right, just for the sake of argument. How could you sit here and say those terms apply to the Republicans and accuse them of being obstructionists when the reality is that the Senate Democrats and the Democratic President Obama are the ones who refuse to pass any budget bill that's put before them unless they get what they want? They will refuse to budge and compromise. They're refusing to do any of that at the same time demanding that the Republicans do. I mean, this is interesting, and I tell you why. I'm going to put a link in the chat room because I want everybody to read this. But I tell you why that is. Because quite frankly, Reid and the president know that they have a major political liability if they pass a budget. Because the Democrats are spending so much money so fast, and the budget would actually prove that they were trying to give away something for nothing. Okay? That the big farce that's being put on the American people would be exposed. There's no way around that. So they can't pass a budget or haven't been able to pass a budget because they know they're screwed. The deficit is completely out of control. There's not enough tax revenue to pay any kind of entitlement programs that they continue doing. You do all of this crap, and they keep saying stimulus, 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 spend more, spend more, spend more. What's that got us, Ed? Anything?
If you break it down, it's got us a somewhat nebular explanation that we save so many jobs, X amount of jobs from being lost, which nobody can ever prove.
Right.
And they maybe created a few jobs, but the jobs probably pay the individual $25,000 a year, probably cost taxpayer $200,000 a year. So, yeah, it's just been a waste. We've been printing money. The debt's gone up. The deficit goes down. I understand that because it was so high to begin with. But the debt is growing, and we're just setting the stage for another recession is what we're doing.
Well, there's no doubt about it. So let's get into the reality here. Okay, Barack Obama has said publicly, folks, you can look this up. It's not me trying to be a conservative bashing this president. But Barack Obama has said publicly that if we have a government shutdown, that old people may not get their disability checks, people on unemployment might not get their money, if you're on food stamps, all these medical benefits, everything that they're throwing out there, the welfare state, people may not get. However, here's the thing. In the event of a shutdown, Social Security is a mandatory spending program. People who draw Social Security will continue getting paid. You can continue to apply for Social Security benefits, do the appeals process, whatever you normally do in that situation. So it doesn't affect Social Security. Would the government continue paying unemployment benefits? Of course they would. They are required to provide essential functions through the Employment and Training Administration. This all happened after 95. So when they do this, so you're still going to get your unemployment. Food stamps, the SNAP program, it's all funded through the Recovery Act. So you're going to get food stamps for at least 1 year, according to the Department of Agriculture. So you're not going to do without food stamps. They're certainly not going to let the government shut down for a year. Here's an interesting thing, Ed, and this is what a lot of people ain't paying attention to. What's going to happen to the veterans? What's going to happen to these veterans who have disabilities that are combat-related wounds and everything else? According to the Department of Veterans Affairs, if this shutdown continues into late October, then the people who aren't going to get money are the disabled vets. They're not going to get their pension checks or anything else. 3.6 million veterans who sat here and fought for these freedoms and all this other crap we're going through won't get paid. And the other people who will be hurt, the only other people who will be hurt, the kids. Let's do it for the kids, Ed, right? The only other program that's in immediate jeopardy is the WIC program. The WIC program is for needy, low-income families to provide basic essentials for babies and their small children. So disabled vets won't get paid, and our kids will go hungry. Everybody else is cool. The president gets paid. The Congress gets paid. What's going on here?
Well, not only do they get paid, they'll still be collecting their taxes, our taxes.
Exactly, yeah.
So that's
IRS
one of the things I
said,
you know,
right.
It's like, hey, we pay for a government that's 24/7, 365, so if you guys go offline for a day, or let's say you go offline for a week, that's like 2% of the year. Do we get a 2% rebate because we were shorted? 2% of the government we were promised as part of the deal?
But here's something else that people aren't realizing either, Ed. Since 1977, the government has actually shut down, and this is why I joked at the beginning of the show about sky falling and leave America, because since 1977, the government has actually shut down 17 times. That's a 1-7, folks. We have already had government shut down 17 times in the last 35 years. So on average, we're shutting down every 2 years.
And I remember them, Ed. They were horrible. Anarchy, cities burning, foreign armies attacking our doors. Why do you think I buried a bus in my yard?
I'm telling you, man, yeah. Private business completely went bankrupt. Nobody had any jobs. It was worse than the Great Depression in the 30s. I mean, it was incredible. The stock market crash in October of 1929 was small potatoes compared to what happened the last 17 times we went through this. And that really brings me to a point, though, Ed, because what ultimately happens here is the federal government is saying that 41% of the government will not be able to go to work. They will be furloughed until after this crisis is averted because they are considered non-essential personnel. Well, I ask you people to consider this. I ask every one of our listeners to consider this. If the Social Security Department is still making payments, the Unemployment Office is still making payments, the Food Stamp Office is still making payments, Medicare is still going to exist, those are the basic social programs we've got, those are essential personnel. Of course, the Congress is going to be there getting full pay and benefits. The President is going to be there getting full pay and benefits. They will have to do without one or two of their staffers, but they will still have a competent staff available. If all of these people make up 59% of our government, and oh, by the way, our military will still exist with no problems there either, unless you're a disabled vet. So when we look at this in play, Ed, what they're really telling us is that 41% of our federal government is unnecessary, non-essential people that have absolutely nothing to do with the social programs and the welfare programs that so many Americans depend on. If that's the case, then the Republicans have to be right that you can cut government spending. I think that's obvious. What do you think?
Well, I think sometimes that's what some people in government might fear the most is if it's a protracted shutdown. You know, some people are going to hurt. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, that 41% does something. Some people are going to hurt, but the majority of the Americans are going to look around and go, why are we paying them? and the pressure is going to be on. I'm sure those people do, some valuable stuff. They do. It's just, it's not necessary. Granted, sooner or later it'll catch up with you. When you say non-essential, I'm sure that's time weighted. I mean, you can, National Geological Survey or something. Yeah, you probably could do without them for a week, but, and pull a pipeline or you might want them, you're going to need them back online sometime. But, I look at, you hear that, and it's just, first off, it's not a huge government shutdown, and then secondly, like you say, it could be like the sequester. After, all the doom and gloom of the sequester, it came. And the bulk of Americans, unless you are entirely dependent on something like that, it's like the federal government, the bulk of Americans probably couldn't really tell you where the sequester hit.
Well, that's exactly it. I was in the military during one of these so-called shutdowns. I was an active duty military member back in the 80s. And, we never knew it. It didn't affect one damn thing. And by the way, folks, I want to point out to you real quick, the numbers, when I tell you 59%, David Cox, the president of the American Federation of Government Employees, said he expects the number of employees that will be furloughed, government employees be furloughed, to be somewhere between 800,000 and 1 million people. And there's 2.1 million federal employees. So that's how you come to that number. And it also, the USA Today, I use as a source as well, the USA Today did an analysis back in 2011 for the 2011 shutdown contingency plans, and USA Today said that they found that 59% of the government employees would continue to work. So I'm not making numbers up out of thin air. You've got the American Federation of Government Employees and the USA Today. Both of those analyses is pretty close. So, when we sit here and talk about this, everybody's going to get paid that needs to get paid. While we've got a president out there threatening Social Security checks, it's a lie. Proven to be a lie. The law doesn't allow for it. And we've got a Congress who's going to continue to get paid. And by the way, why would the Congress continue to get paid? Here's why. Because in 1992, remember, 17 government shutdowns since 1977. Well, in 1992, the Congress ratified the 27th Amendment to the Constitution. And that basically says that no law varying the compensation for the services of the senators and representatives shall take effect until an election of representatives shall have intervened. What that essentially means is Congress can't vote themselves a raise, but they also can't take a pay cut. So their pay is frozen during a shutdown, so they can't not take their pay. They have to take their pay, and they can't vote themselves a raise. So I thought that was pretty interesting factoid there that people needed to know. Go ahead.
Well, I've said before, this the shutdown, it'll come, it'll go. It's I'm sort of cynical on both ends. It's like I look at it and think, well, if they do shut it down, we're going to find out what essential and non-essential is. The media is going to go crazy and start interviewing government employees that are going to be without a check. Never mind that I would give heavy odds on favorites, and after it's all done, even though they didn't go to work, they'll probably still get their back pay for it's all said and done for not going to work. So it's really not being furloughed. It'll probably ultimately be like a paid vacation. And on the other end, I look at the Republicans, don't get all sanctimonious with me, you pack of bastards. Because when Bush was in and Cheney was in and all the others, you had no trouble passing this. We had Cheney saying deficits don't matter and all this other crap. We were given tax breaks and not cutting spending. So don't get all saying. That's why I just look at this whole mess, and it's just like the whole lot of them, Democrats and Republicans. I look at it as you have got to be kidding me. It's a show. It's a show because this is.
Well, it really is.
This is not coming from the heart. This is not coming from the history of either side. Either side is, when their side is up, they're ready to spend. We have all those quotes about Barack Obama. It's a failure in leadership if we have to raise the debt ceiling again or whatever. It's all a matter of perspective. It's all theater, and who's in charge. So I'll watch these guys go at it. I'll go to work tomorrow and, like I said, even if the government shut down, I'm sure they won't be cutting me a tax credit for failure to deliver the services that I guess I receive. I don't know. So, it's just theater. But
Well, it's fascinating.
You know, a lot of people, it's fun to talk about, but I'm just to a point, I just really don't give a crap. It's not going to affect me in the least. You know,
the shutdown, I don't care about.
Local police department still works. You know,
sure.
The lights are going to stay on. My employees are going to show up. The gas pumps are going to work. It's all good. And these people can just, this Washington, D.C. self-absorbed theater can just kiss my ass at some point.
Well, I'm totally with you there. You know, and it just seems that everybody's freaking out over all of this. But the only reason they're freaking out is, once again, the mainstream media is twisting and distorting everything to try to get a perceived, a preconceived, you know, final outcome. I mean, that's all there is to it, because Social Security is not going to end. Welfare is not going to end. The government could shut down for at least 1 year and nobody would lose any welfare at all. Our disabled veterans would. Our two-year-old and under children would under the WIC program. But that's the people that would be affected. Those who can least afford to be affected are the only ones affected. So for somebody to sit here and tell me that the Republicans are the problem, then I have to ask you to find out why Harry Reid and Barack Obama haven't done their job and passed a budget. You know, there's so many things here, it's unbelievable. We are at the end of the hour, though. Ed, final thoughts, my friend.
Yeah, like I say, final thoughts, that was kind of them. It's like, look, this is theater. If Republicans were in charge, they'd be bucking to raise the debt ceiling, and they would be defending if the Democrats stepped up and said, let's strip down Medicare Part D, let's restructure that. It wasn't a good deal. It was, you know, welfare. It's really, and that's the one that always kills me. they're so anti-Obamacare, but they're all into the giveaway that they passed, which is Medicare Part D. So, you know, it's all a matter of perspective. If the Democrats are in charge, Republicans are going to fight it. If Republicans are in charge, the Democrats are going to fight it. They're going to shut down non-essential services, which, hey, guess what? That means probably 99% of the people have no idea what they're going to shut down. And, you know, they'll get it passed. They'll raise the debt ceiling. The Republicans will get some sort of – they'll come out with something. But it's an election year. So, I mean, it's not driven by principle. If it was, the Republicans would have been fighting their own debt ceiling increases and their own expansion of essentially government-funded medical care, which was Part D. They would have fought it, but they didn't. When they were in charge, they were trying to show everybody how much money they could spend and kind of convince everybody it didn't matter. Now that they're not in charge, somebody else gets a crack at it, they're trying to convince us that all this crap matters. All of it matters. And I say, it's just theater. It's theater, but I'm going to bury the bus on my property anyway, just in case everybody goes zombie after this. You know, tonight at midnight, I'm locking and loading, so if you come wandering up on my property, it's on.
Well, you know, for me personally, I'm always locking and loading.
I've seen you walk with your bad knees, so you walk a little bit like a zombie. So there'll be no mercy. You don't get a warning shot, my friend.
Well, I'll be honest with you, because of the way I walk, it's obvious I'm not going to outrun anybody with this knee. So I will tell you this, I am always locked and loaded, and I shoot pretty damn straight, so I don't worry a lot. But, you know, I mean, when you get into this whole fiasco, that's exactly what it is. This has absolutely nothing to do with neither side has any altruistic motive whatsoever to aid the American people. There is none. The Republicans do not want to fund Obamacare. They want to delay, because they know it's unsustainable. The Democrats know it's unsustainable, so your Democratic leadership and Barack Obama and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid continue to refuse to pass a budget, and they keep passing the buck back to the Republican House, saying, oh, the Republican House ain't giving us something we can work with. That's a lie. Pass the damn thing and see what happens. The problem is, in 2009, they had every opportunity in the world to get this right. But the Democrats, so eager to impress the whole world because we had our first black president, decided they were going to give him his Obamacare. They were going to give away something yet again that was going to be something for nothing, but it was going to cost an exorbitant amount of money that we could not sustain. So they got the Obamacare. It's a payback to all the unions, except for one small problem. The unions today now realize they were bamboozled. You've got the Service International Union. These folks are trying to figure out what in the hell's going on, because they helped to pass all of this. All of the unions jumped in and said, yeah, we're going to pass this. It's going to be great, blah, 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 blah. Guess what, folks? It's not so great. The SEIU just found out that they cost jobs. And that's the real key here. That's the real key here. Because there was no forethought, no foresight to say, hey, look, maybe we need to read this boondoggle. Maybe we need to see what's exactly in it before we rush this through. Now, the Republicans were excited. Oh, yeah, we'll let them have Obamacare. Yeah, then we can stick it on their necks. And we can hang them for it so we can get more seats. Except what that did was show that the Republicans were too weak to lead because they did not stand on principle. And that seems to be the problem. The SEIU...
I should interject at this point. Not only you say they refuse to lead, what are they talking about doing? Defunding Obamacare. All they're doing is showing that they know where the off switch is. They can't fix anything. I haven't seen any big plans come up. It's like, okay, you know, let's tweak Obamacare. Let's remove this. Let's add this. Let's realize some savings here. You're not getting that from them. All they're saying is defund it. And then people look at, you know, anybody that's thinking looks at it and says, okay, so you defund it or repeal it. Then what?
Well, in their haste to appease the unions, the SEIU, the Teamsters, and a whole host of other unions are crying foul. They spent millions of dollars helping get Obamacare passed, only to find out that thanks to the Obamacare mandates, that the employers who employ their union members are now cutting hours everywhere to get underneath the 30-hour limit so that they can put everybody part-time and avoid any employer insurance or anything else. They're going to make a killing. Who really cares about the rich? It would appear the Democrats do. Because if you're a rich corporate owner, you're going to use these mandates to justify taking people out of health care and everything else, and you're going to make even more profit. But more disturbingly than even that, we have to look at the level of care, and that takes us to a New Jersey story. New Jersey is already one state that's facing a shortage of doctors. By 2020, New Jersey thinks that they will be somewhere around 3,000 primary care physicians short of what they need to give basic care. And why are people fleeing New Jersey? Well, according to the president and CEO of the Council of Teaching Hospitals, New Jersey loses nearly 70% of all the doctors that they educate to other states. Why is that? Because better salary is offered outside of New Jersey. The cost of living in New Jersey is too high. They get better practice opportunities outside of New Jersey. The taxes in New Jersey are too high, and housing is unsustainable. When you look at all the things gathered here, okay, and then, of course, you add in the malpractice insurance and the other things, it's too expensive in New Jersey. What's going to happen when Obamacare kicks into full gear tomorrow and the Medicare and everything else, when these doctors are told you can't charge $50 for an office visit anymore, we're only going to pay you $12. And your cost of doing business is $25. It's not rocket science, folks. It's basic math. Obamacare is doomed to fail, or the health care system itself is doomed to fail, because we're not going to be able to get quality health coverage anywhere, whether you're insured or not. Because nobody has the cash to pay for that. And that's probably more alarming than anything. At a time when we are stretched to the limit trying to get, you know, good quality health care, we're shutting down doctors and hospitals. They've already announced that the nurses and doctors at a lot of these hospitals are going to cut back 20% to 30% because of Obamacare. How many hospitals do we have a problem that are full now, but now they're going to cut back 20% to 30% of staff? It's very, very alarming. Very alarming. We have to start paying attention, folks, and wake up. That's it for tonight. Tomorrow night, you'll be back here at 7, of course. I'm sure that we will continue this conversation, you know, because tomorrow is D-Day, man. Midnight tonight, we shut down or we don't. But either way, we're going to know where we're going to go tomorrow night. So tune in tomorrow night for more of this and other stories as well. Thanks so much for joining us,
Ed.
We'll see you again.
I'll take care, folks. I'll keep you in my prayers, Ed. Midnight.
I appreciate that, man. I'm gonna be locked and loaded, sitting on my front porch, man. Caffeine and out, so my eyes are all bug eyed and everything else.
I hope you make it, man. I'll see you on the other side.
All right, man. Take care, folks. I'll see you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right here, same time, same channel. Thanks for listening.